Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9, so much more than a producer.
What's up?
Live from Bar Cannon at the D. What's happening?
Doing great, man. No power drills this morning. Ready to roll.
Free to do unfettered radio.
There's actually like nobody in here today. It's a little bizarre.
please come back, drills. Okay. On the show today, Drew Dinsick will join us to talk. I don't know. We'll see if we can coax some tennis out of him. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. NFL draft fallout. Mm-hmm. Let's just say, if he wants to say two words about that, because he didn't have a good day, maybe he wants to just wrap it up. And then NBA, we'll talk with him as well.
Plus, he'll be the on-site a numbers game reporter live for the Kentucky Derby.
And the big thing, the Kentucky Derby. Yeah. Why are you looking so serious
just,
at me?
Just us sending him out there. He's not going for any other reason, Kel. Just for a numbers game.
Kelly stared at me with a stern expression. Okay, and then Paul Carr on Champions League, Paul Spohr on baseball, and the headline of today's show. The Guardians are still alive. It is April 30th. I don't know if you know this. This is the last day of April. It's a 30-day month.
I mean, it did sneak up on me a couple times.
We are live. We are not there by any stretch. We'll go through the scenarios for Circa players like myself and Dead Heat players alike coming up on the show after a unbelievable night of baseball.
I was going to say, that went about as well as it could have for you.
It went perfecto yesterday.
Okay.
Yankees lost to the Orioles, which was always a possibility, right? It was in Baltimore. Yeah. Orioles shut out the Yankees. Did they shut them out at the end? Yeah, I think they did. 2-0. And then you had the simultaneous games where the Angels came back from a 3-0 deficit in the first inning to beat the Phillies. So the Yankees and Phillies are of no matter to those of us at Circa. We'll get into it later. And then the big one, the Atlanta Braves and the Seattle Mariners dueling no-hitters through 6. The Braves manufacturing a run to go up 1-0. And you're like, how many different ways can this ball club win baseball games? And Mitch Haniger, San Francisco Giant great. Kidding. 2-run Jimmy Jack in the 9th. Let's just put it this way. So everybody at the Aria Sportsbook.
Go Haniger.
Everyone at the Aria Sportsbook is watching the Lakers game on the big screen. There's this totally obnoxious Lakers fan who's like making enemies with everybody. And then they go after him when Denver finally wins and he wants to fight him. It's this whole thing. But they let me go up in the little VIP area, which is elevated. They can't see me. And when Haniger hit the home run, they didn't even know I was up there. I let out this guttural scream. Like, I'm going bananas. And you could tell they were all, because it had nothing to do with the basketball game. They're like, what just happened? Okay, we'll get to that.
I like that bar outside. I don't hang out in the sports book there very much.
You are a total bar outside guy.
If you got a good TV setup and I can get a video poker in front of me, but I'm good.
Okay, we'll get to that. NBA last night. Let's get to the ones real quick that we can get to. OKC completes the sweep against New Orleans. 1-2-3 Galveston for the Pelicans, the Zionless Pelicans. And this Western Conference great playoffs that we were expecting sure hasn't happened yet. We get a sweep with the T-Wolves. We get a sweep with OKC. And so there you go. The number one seed Thunder, first franchise playoff series win since 2016. Good on them.
Yeah, great on them. I mean, I think this is, like you said, no Zion. That totally changed everything for New Orleans. But hey, OKC, Minnesota, for all the doubters out there, it's a clean sweep in the first round onto the second round, where I think we're going to get some better series, Gil.
Oh, I think we are. Celtics, before that, took down the Heat. No problem. They take a 3-1 lead now back to Boston to try to complete the 5-game series. They're 102-88 in a game that wasn't quite that close, to be honest with you. Derek White went crazy in this game. The only thing, though, is this, and I wonder if you remember this exchange we had a couple months ago. I said the only thing that can stop the Celtics in the Eastern Conference is a Porzingis injury. And you looked at me and you said, yeah, but everybody says, like, why is everybody saying Porzingis get hurt? Porzingis got hurt.
Yep.
And people were, of course, doing the hey, was it an Achilles injury? I'm apparently the official Achilles doctor in the United States of America.
He had a calf strain. We have to go to you on that.
He rolled his ankle the previous possession, so that already makes you think, well, it's not an Achilles. It was whatever happened there. Plus, he had that tape over his calf, so you couldn't really see what was going on with the calf. And then they never really showed a shot of his face afterwards that I saw, which you need that confusion.
So he was grimacing.
Yeah,
on the sideline.
MRI today. They're saying that it's not that, and I don't believe it is either. But I mean, that's a big loss if it's extended.
Yeah, it sure is. I think he's got time. You know, how much is it going to matter? When's it going to matter? Those are the big questions this time of year. But yeah, man, I mean, that was the big addition for them this season. And sure, they've got more than enough firepower still that you could make an argument that they could easily get through the Eastern Conference without him. But like you said, that was the big addition this year with all the other pieces around Brown and Tatum and him. And yeah, man, that would be big if he missed significant time.
And then the big one last night, the Nuggets and the Lakers. Nuggets looking to close out the Lakers with a gentleman's sweep in what is the most ungentlemanly of gentlemen's sweeps, based on the fact that the Lakers ended up leading in this series 76% of the time. 4:11 left in the game, 95-95. Jamal posterizes LeBron, 97-95. Nuggets, 97-95. Reeves, bounce, good. We're tied at 97. Murray drives the hole, 99-97 Nuggets. 99-99 now, 3:04 left. AD called for a foul on a Jokic bunny. Lakers challenge it, win the challenge, but lose the timeout. A horrible rule in the NBA where on your second challenge, even if you win, you lose a timeout. Bookmark that. Later, Jokic, baby runner, 101-99, 2:36 left, Nuggets on top. Reeves then from three, and the Lakers are on top, 102-101 with 2:12 left. KCP from eight. Moment might have been too big. Ball goes seven, but grazes the front of the rim right to Jokic, who lays it in. 103-102 Nuggets, 1:46 left. LeBron, tough to the rack in traffic, lays it in. 104-103 Lakers, 1:33 to go. Could that have been the last field goal as a professional? We'll get to that momentarily. Murray, elbow jumper, no good. Gordon fights off both LeBron and D'Angelo, gets the board. Back to Murray from three, bottom. 106-104, Denver, 106 left. Reeves misses a six-footer. Jokic misses a four-footer. LeBron fouled by Porter Jr., hits both free throws. 106-106, 26 seconds to go. Denver does not call timeout, just like they didn't in game two. This time, Murray fading to his left in midair, hits a 15-footer with 3.6 left. Lakers, no timeouts left. Remember that challenge. LeBron impeded by Jokic, gives it up to Taurean Prince, half-court heave, no good, no foul either. They weren't going to call that ball game series. Nuggets in one of the strangest gentleman's sweeps ever. And somebody asked me yesterday on Twitter, what is the origin of a gentleman's sweep? And somebody, they traced it back to a blogger at CBS Sportsline in 2011. It's actually a dude on Twitter in 2010 that they saw before this. Some random dude's like, I call that a gentleman's sweep. Plus 38, the Lakers were in the first half in this series. They led by at least 9 points in every game, and they led at halftime in every game. And Jamal Murray, who hits the game winner in games 2 and 5, this is from Nick Wright over at Fox Sports. I thought this was an interesting tweet. And Nick Wright is like the biggest Lakers apologist and biggest LeBron guy there ever is. So for him to come out and be so, I guess, gracious about it. But he was really, I think, a great tweet about putting Jamal Murray in context. He says Jamal Murray is one of the most unique players in NBA history. Zero All-Star appearances, zero All-NBA teams, no regular season accolades at all, yet only MJ, Wilt, and AI have more 50-point playoff games than Murray. He's got one iconic playoff run under his belt, two other awesome ones, and now this year, with a true walk-off buzzer beater and another near buzzer beater and 32 points on one leg. Legendary. I think that's accurate. Wasn't going to play. Had a calf injury. Emotional conversation with Malone. Coach Malone before the game. I'll play. Boy, did he ever.
Malone didn't want him to go. Sounded like the Nuggets didn't want him to go. Jamal Murray's one of the... I know we talk about these... Everybody gets the playoff tag. Aren't they even doing a commercial on it now, like making fun of it? But like Jamal Murray in the playoffs is a different thing. Sorry. Yeah. Like he is a different guy in these big time moments. Like you're just talking about the walk off buzzer beater shots like he makes over and over again. There's not a lot of guys you'd say you'd rather have in that position than him.
Well, we have one conference semifinal set now. And by the way, LeBron sound first before we move on to
LeBron
that?
LeBron exiting the season, you know, not making anything dramatic.
No, not at all. It's LeBron future. After the game.
In your last game with the Lakers. I'm not going to answer that. Appreciate it.
All right, well.
And he's out.
It's bad audio, but he was asked, are you going to be with the Lakers next year? He was like, not going to answer that. He's done this before. He knows exactly what he's doing. He ain't leaving L.A. He's just setting it up so that he can get whatever he wants with management. Let's get this guy. Let's get that guy.
Yeah, I mean, he does. LeBron. Like you said, he does this every time. It's always calculated. He knows exactly what he's saying. He knows ESPN's going to run that soundbite 900 times between now and the next season. I don't know what happens with this Lakers team. Sure, there's all the Bronny James stuff out there. You know, I would assume LeBron is back, but man.
By the way, how about that thing where, like, Michael Porter Jr. hits AD's arm and then he crashes to the ground as if he's been shot? Haven't we seen that before with him, too? Where it's like, did he really get hit that hard?
That was weird. I guess he had a stinger or something.
Did we see that last year also?
Yeah.
Where it happened in the playoffs? We're like, what happened to him?
That looked weird. I'm not going to entertain this for long because I really don't think it's the last we see of LeBron James. But, man, if we do... It is not age that forced him into retirement.
No,
it is Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets that have forced him into retirement.
LeBron will be 40 in December.
Yeah.
Minnesota-Denver, the 2-3 in the Western Conference is set, and Denver's series price is north of $2, Kelly. Is this where we're showing 230 here at DraftKings? Was this where you thought it would be?
Yeah, it's like exactly where I thought it was going to be. I'm a little... I was itching to get in on something with Minnesota. This price, though, is about right where I thought it'd be, and it's actually coming down a little bit at -210. A lot of places here in Vegas on Denver probably will just be a series I end up attacking game to game. Right. I think Denver has an advantage in game one. I might end up on Minnesota series price after that.
We'll get Drew Dinsick's thought on that price and everything NBA and beyond. Tennis, NFL draft. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Guardians 2 coming up. On a numbers game, live from Bar Canada, the D. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. One correction, by the way. It wasn't Mitch Haniger. It was Garver. Mitch Garver who hit the home run. I was so out of my mind. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Whoever hit it. I was like.
Get your Mitches right, okay?
What's that?
Get your Mitches right.
Minnesota Twins great Mitch Garver. It should be pointed out. So thank you for everybody making that correction. But I also buried the headline when I was talking about we're going to update the scenarios for both Circa bettors and for Dead Heat Shop bettors on this Guardians March-April bet. So you know how I said I wasn't going to make a May bet, most wins in May, because that this had been so mentally exhausting, and surely whatever I do in May is not going to be nearly as exciting. The odds aren't going to be nearly as long.
Yep.
Chances are we aren't going to get nearly as close to the finish line.
You did say all this, yep.
Yeah. Let me just show a tweet before we get to Drew. This is from Mr. Lucky. Now, Mr. Lucky, I love you and I hate you. I'm kidding about the hate, but you'll understand what I mean here. I had no intention of getting in on this, and I did hold true to my promise that I would not do it at a Dead Heat Shop, okay? But evidently, middle of the day yesterday, Circa put up their numbers for the first time for most wins in May, and Mr. Lucky on Twitter, Mr._Lucky_777 to be exact, he throws this up with an LFG and posts a screenshot of several teams in the most May wins market at Circa in Major League Baseball. And my only response was, after looking at it, oh no. So ladies and gentlemen, not only will we update the March-April Guardians play, but I will reveal my play for May as well. Dear God, I can't believe I'm doing this again. Drew Dinsick joins us, everybody. He's the host of Not One But Two podcast, The Deep Dive with Andy Molitor, Dinsick Classic, and of course, the new Dinsick, NBC Sports, Bet the Edge with Jay Croucher. He joins us now from his lair in the LBC, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Drewski, how you doing, man?
Not too bad. That Orioles 11-1 is kind of tasty. Orioles playing some pretty good baseball right now. I don't know. I'm intrigued to see where you're going here.
Yeah, Samich on the show yesterday said he might play the Blue Jays 28-1. I think he did. So he took the Blue Jays 28-1, most wins in May. Before we get to the Derby, which, by the way, you going to Churchill Downs for this?
Yep, getting on a plane tomorrow about this time.
What a life. What a life. Do you have one of them mint juleps? Do you dress up for this, Drew? What do you do?
Dress up, yes. That's part of the pomp and circumstance, yeah. No question.
Yeah.
Mint juleps are disgusting. Yeah. They are way too sweet of a beverage. They have some other alternatives there. The Woodford Spire is a pretty good one. Just in general, I like a drink with a little less heat when it comes to the sweet. So for those reasons, one mint julep just for the tradition is about all I can do. Because the flavor profile, it's fine, but the way they make them there is just the simple syrup is just over the top. So I can't do it. Can't do more than one.
Any man who uses the phrase flavor profile knows what he's talking about. let's bookmark that. We'll get to the 150th run for the roses here momentarily and get your thoughts on the race. But first, and then we'll see if you have any tennis. We'll talk NBA. Would you like to do a brief postscript on the NFL draft? It did not go.
Oh, sure.
Did not go well for you, as you were very transparent about. What happened?
Well, so first of all, it should be very clear that I take draft betting very seriously because of just historical kind of reasons. And it's embarrassing to lose on a market that is informational, but, you know, information based. And last year I got caught up in solving the puzzle and like kind of overthinking things as opposed to just listening to the guys with the information who came through in spades on the day of. I paid the price for it last year. So this year my plan coming in was, well, I'm just going to wait for the mail. In general, as far as getting decent sized betting, you know, bets in on the draft, you're kind of stuck just betting the top. Like exact picks 2-3 had something like 10 times the limits per click that over unders did and things like that offshore. So I was really just kind of preying on those markets, hoping that the mail was correct. And it turned out it was all poison. And that is the way it goes. I will do it again next year. Same approach, I think. It was a rough way to go. I mean, the swinging for the fences on the big prices failed. And then to make things worse, you had a late run of wide receivers that sunk my bridge jumpers, which really stung. So
I was thinking of you the whole time that happened. I was like, this dude does not deserve to have this happen to him as well. I was like, with apologies to Kelly Bidlin, who was the beneficiary of such things. So
yeah, you know what I knew I was in trouble was when the Chiefs traded up. Then you're like, oh God, like they're only doing this if it's to take a wide receiver. And it was, it was like, oh God, that, now like anyone who has eyes for a wide receiver is going to reach. And sure enough, you have the Niners of the world taking the Ricky Pearsalls, who I've learned as a player,
Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah.
Florida.
That was a tough way to go down. I think I had some over 9.5 offensive linemen that didn't come through. My threading the needle on some of the over-unders for offensive defensive players missed because there was a record number, 23 or something offensive players. And it was just all around gross. Funny enough, Thursday night, I was just on full tilt. I was like, I just have to close every account, put away my phone, I'm going to do something stupid. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, rather than get involved betting wise, ended up going to the Congressional Cup here down in Long Beach. We had a very famous sailing race. You, of course, know it because the winner of the Congressional Cup gets the Crimson Blazer.
Sure. Who doesn't know that? 56th.
Yeah, 56th running of the Congressional Cup in Long Beach, and this is sailing match racing, and there was no way to bet on it other than $5 with my friends who were there watching with me. And it was kind of a good way to sort of reset and not just kind of tilt and dump, considering the state of mind I was in after losing all the Met draft bets. So it was a fun weekend, and hat tip to Chris Poole for taking down his second Congressional Cup, and sure. Really and truly, it was a passing of the baton, Gil.
Obviously,
he beat 7-time world champion Ian Williams. I mean, this kid from Connecticut, he has got something. I don't know if ultimately this will translate to Olympic success in Paris, but I will be watching the sailing quite closely.
What's the specialty cocktail out at the Congressional Club?
Okay, so they sell the little splits of champagne, and they give you a little funnel to put on top so that you can sip it like a gentleman. Yeah.
Ian Williams won 7 in a row, Kelly. Clearly, that guy has not met anybody in my tribe. Let me just say this. One, first of all, Rufus is someone who I think sailed at Yale. That like, Rufus Peabody, I believe. Classic. So, like, he tried.
Really?
Yes. I think he tries to handicap sailing as well. Like, it's a whole thing. Last question is about the draft before we move on. And you answered in there. You answered it already, which is you said, you know, you want to, you will be betting this next year again. And I did want to ask that just a little more clearly, because one of the things that I said was, is anyone capable of having a good year in a draft now? Sure. Our own Matt Eumanns just destroyed it, right? Yeah. But there was this, so good on him. Will Hill did very well. But are the days of just knowing that it's going to be a winner every year, them days are over, aren't they?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I guess it probably depends on the year, but for me, yes.
Yeah.
I guess that's the answer. Yeah. Our friend from the Megapod, Luke, he went like 15-2 or something.
Did he really?
We're in all the same chats. We're getting all of the same information. And he was just picking his spots more effectively.
Good
he was like,
him.
Okay, this guy's gonna get buzzed. He's going up boards. I'm taking an under now. This guy's going down. I'm taking an over now. And like, you know, yeah, not to, you know, like unit shame or anything, but like,
yeah.
and he's in a legal market, so he has access to more books, and you know, he made it all worthwhile. But like, while he was making most of his very, very good bets on the draft, I had one option, Mr. Irrelevant. like that was kind of like the world that I was living in, as far as, you know, just, you know, the menu of choices. So
when the wideouts thing happened at the end, Drew, it was one of those moments. And if you've bet long enough and you have friends who bet, you know, this feeling where you're like, I'm not going to text Drew. I'm just not going to text him. I'm going to give him time. And he'll come out whenever he's ready to come out. Real quick, in 60 seconds before we go to break, because we'll talk NBA and Derby on the other side. Anything in Madrid, or you've completely steered away from Madrid in tennis?
No. Madrid has been amazing. Are you kidding?
Oh, good.
This has been a great tournament. Like, shockingly good. And the matchups left here are very, very good and very important, I think, to watch. On the women's side, I have a big old bet on Aryna Sabalenka to ship at, I think, 5-1. She, of course, is the defending champion here, and she's got a matchup tomorrow again after ending the Danielle freaking Collins streak yesterday.
Yes, yes.
She's got a rematch of last year's beatdown on Mira Andreeva tomorrow, and I think she can come through. So still a long way to go because Iga's playing darn good tennis, but Madrid has been phenomenal.
She show is. Iga Świątek, the world number one. All right, so Sabalenka against Andreeva. He's got Sabalenka tomorrow. We'll come back. NBA Derby with Drew. It's on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Kelly Bydlon. That's BYDLON. I'm trying to big you up, Kelly, for everybody listening out there.
Thanks, man.
Kelly Bydlon.
Appreciate that.
Hey, you're very welcome. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from, it's just from everybody, man. Everybody's great. Rich PSM. Tomorrow's my birthday, and I've got my 18-1 Guardians dead heat, but I won't celebrate until my leader sees some Mariners W, hopefully easier than last night and Saturday. Foresight should be rewarded. Go, Gil. Michael Burns, what percentage chance you give yourself at winning this bet? Curious. I don't know, Michael. We're a dog. For sure, we're a dog.
Yeah. I was thinking
we're
about
a dog.
I was thinking about the if you had the dead heat. How many teams would you accept?
Accept?
Yeah, like would you take it now?
I do not accept this four teams. This no, four
like,
team.
You know
tie.
How we always do the would you take your money now? Like take your money back without the.
Well,
betting?
This is why I was asking earlier. What position would you rather be in? I prefer mine.
I'd rather be in yours too.
But I want everybody to win this. I hope if we can't, I hope the dead heaters get some profit out
of
it.
Man, just let only one team tie it or something like that. It would be okay.
Bro, could you imagine if, like, it just broke our way? Paper Mike. DraftKings had a promo. Yeah, so everybody, DraftKings did have the March-April. Paper Mike, DraftKings had a promo for the April most wins where they offered you $3 per win back in free bet at the end of it. And I took the Braves 8-1 the day before you posted yours. He has vomit emojis, but hey, Paper Mike, you might win it. Joe Ryan, DK did post. He got the Guardians at 50-1. 50-1. So did James Sott. He said DK did have it up for the Guards, April bet, 50-1.
Yeah, thank you for everybody.
By the way, March, April is what it was. Jesse Welch, yes, DK did have most wins by end of April. I have Guardians 50-1 preflop and 18-1 for mid-April. LFG Cleveland Burks. Adam Burke, I love you. Cleve TA, I love you. I love everything about you, Cleveland. Scott Weston, dear Gil Pacino, just when I thought I was out, you pulled back in. Let's go, Guardians. And then Chance Copperpot, yes, they did have that at DK Sportsbook. Most wins March, April. Got it in there before you started talking about this market, so I was very excited that you jumped on board, especially considering you don't bet baseball anymore, Gil. Oh, and then Brad Billups talking about my May bet on the Guardians. He says, why not the Phillies for the May bet? They play Miami, Colorado, and the underachieving Gigantes for 13 of the games. Washington, the Mets as well. Well, I think you answered your own question with that underachieving Gigantes thing. Giants magic. It's coming for you. We'll see. Let's get to April 1st before we talk May. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from Austin, Texas. You can follow him on FanGraphs, where he does the Sleeper in the Bust podcast and writes in volume for that Bible of baseball sabermetrics. He, of course, can be followed on Twitter at Sporer. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. It is Paul Sporer wearing his bird's hat. O's, baby. Not an old school. What would you call that? It's because they had the, you know, I grew up on the friendly Oriole face hats. Those, to me, are still the best. But I guess they had a similar bird before that. This is the more newfangled bird.
I think this is supposed to be a throwback hat. I believe it was from their Mitchell and Ness series that they did. I picked this up in the Washington, D.C. airport randomly.
Oh, I know. I think I know exactly the stand you're talking about, too. It has everything. Yeah.
It was awesome. I couldn't believe what they had in the airport, and I was like, must scoop.
You're talking National, not Dulles, right? Yeah, I think I know exactly where. All right, birds. Let's just talk about everything. To win the World Series, because we rarely talk about that, you and I, but right now, is there a team that is not among the usual suspects? And by the usual suspects, let's limit that to Yankees, Dodgers, and Braves. Any team beyond that, including the Birds, including the Orioles, Phillies, Mariners, Rangers, Astros even, because they've gotten off to such a bad start this year. The Twins are surging. The Cubs are looking great. Of course, the Guardians as well. Is there a team out there you'd take a flyer on?
I mean, I would take a shot on the O's. I think they're so unbelievably stocked. I mean, they called up Heston Kjerstad this week. They have no room to play him right now. You know, things work themselves out. Doesn't mean they have to trade. You know, we did this all winter with Cincinnati about how they have to trade a bat. They have too many bats. And then spring comes, injuries hit, and, you know, no shade, but also kind of shade, like Nick Martini getting plenty of burn at age 33, right? Like, if they had traded Jonathan India and Spencer Steer because they had too many hitters, they would be really struggling right now. The reason I bring that up with relation to the O's is people think they have to make a trade. They don't have to. However, they are well-equipped. We saw it with the Burns deal when they dealt Ortiz and Hall. They don't really feel that. Now, that doesn't mean that Milwaukee got nothing. It's one of those situations where the surplus of the O's is such that they can give DL Hall, Joey Ortiz for a rental Burns, and everyone feels like they gave nothing and got an ace. Well, they did get an ace. They did give something, though. They could do another one of those deals is my main point here. If the pitching does not come back as expected, mainly with Bradish and Means, to join Burns and Grayson Rodriguez, they can go out and get another big arm. Not sure who that'll be. It kind of depends how the market develops into the summer, and still barely feel it. Trade a Kobe Mayo. Trade maybe Kjerstad himself. Kyle Stowers is a 26-year-old who could go be in the middle of at least 12, 13 lineups. So they still have a lot of flexibility, and they're already an excellent team. So, yeah, I would say the O's among the you know, non-usual suspects, they're about to beat down that door and make themselves the usual suspect.
I would have bet, if I was allowed to bet on your answer, I would have bet on the Brewers. Brewers 45-1.
I do love those Brewers. You know, this was a team that I thought wasn't getting enough credit in the offseason. I think it's because they traded Burns. I get it. And obviously they were going to be without Woodruff. And hey, that pitching is a little bit scary. It's Freddie Peralta and a band of guys that I could throw some fake names at you, and you might not know if they were the real pitcher or not. Tobias Myers, congressman or fourth starter for the Brewers. Who can say for sure? Just never know there. But Colin Ray, Joe Ross, Tobias Myers, Bryce Wilson, solid guys for the back end. But that's the 2 through 5 right there. So that's my issue with that ball club right now. They themselves could go out and make a move. They don't have nearly the depth that the O's do, but they have a good system that they can trade from and go get some pitching if they need to. It was a retool, not a rebuild this year when they moved Burns. I do like that lineup, though, and I think that in that central, they're going to be frisky all year, the Brewers. I agree.
I'm going to go second term congressman is the answer to that question. Okay. Let me ask you about a couple players. I did Cy Young yesterday with Borchardt. I'll actually ask you about that too. But first, Ellie De La Cruz, 13-1 NL MVP. Would you consider that?
I mean, I'm open to it, but you know, we're seeing the hot version again and kind of forgetting maybe what that looked like when it slowed down last year. Listen, now I came in being against Ellie De La Cruz from the fantasy perspective. He was a second round pick, and hey, that's working out and how so far with 8 homers and 18 steals. It's a profile that we've seen before that just kind of concerned me with the ton of swing and miss and no real walks. Here's the key difference, though. His walk rate is up nearly 2x, up to 14%. And if he has more control of the strike zone, I am less concerned about the strikeouts. It's when you strike out 30%+ and you walk 7-8% that I have some major concerns of those huge slumps. Already early on right now, we're seeing Ellie De La Cruz tighten that up a little bit. If that is real, if that sticks, that he's going to take walks at a 12 to 14% clip, that is a whole new dynamic. So to answer your question, yes, that there is reason to look at that as a potential MVP candidate because he is so electric. This team is capable too. So even though we don't think that the team context should really bring guys in or out of the MVP conversation, the simple fact is that it does. But at least Cincinnati should be sticking around all year to kind of keep Ellie in that playoff chase as well, because that is a big deal for some of the voters, unfortunately.
Okay, and I asked Borchardt about this yesterday. I'll ask you about it. NL Cy Young, Logan Webb is 8-1, and Shota Imanaga, whose Fangraphs page is just a thing of beauty, 20-1.
He looks incredible right now. I still like Logan Webb quite a bit. That's kind of the guy that I'm riding with right now.
Me too.
Weirdly, I mean, I don't know if we're going to get to it or not, but you know, if you ask about DraftKings today, he's only at 8,300. I don't really understand his price today. He's like the 9th highest guy out there. I'm easy all over that. Love what Shota Imanaga's doing. But again, it's early. Now, what we saw last year when Senga came over was he struggled early, then dialed in and took off. I wonder if it's going to be a little bit of the reverse this year where Imanaga's great early, but then as the weather warms up, the ball starts flying. He will have some regression. I'm not saying he's going to fall apart, but home runs are his main concern, and that's kind of the quickest way to really scale an ERA up. So I really, really want to see some more before I really get on the Imanaga train as far as a Cy Young bet goes. Love what he's doing. He's been a fantasy bargain at this point, serving you well in DFS, been great for the Cubs, all of that. But as far as Cy Young, I stop a bit short because we haven't really seen the warm weather or the wind blowing out much in Wrigley to know if that home run problem is going to be quelled or not.
DFS, can you do it in 20 seconds?
Sure. Again, Webb, way too cheap. I like the DraftKings. I love the two pitchers. Cole Reagan's 7,800. Also like 12th or 15th on the board there. Go for those two guys. There is no game in Coors, if I recall correctly. Be careful with Cubs Mets. A lot of rain potential there. And definitely attack. I'm sorry. You got to attack Mike Soroka. I like him. I root for him. But you got to go for Minnesota Twins to stay hot against the White Sox as far as your hitters.
God, could you imagine there was rain in Seattle tonight? Oh, that would be spectacular. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Talking about the Guards, but of course. NFL Rookie of the Year and NBA next. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VSIN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gil and Kelly from Bar Canada here at the D. Michael Montesano checking in, letting me know also that I was just sort of instinctively dead on about the A's, as it turns out. He says, per team rankings, projected wins, just one place that projects total wins. Colorado, 54.2. The White Sox 54.5, the A's 62 on the button.
So yeah.
Yeah. It's
like the 7.5 more.
Yeah. Rockies and White Sox are just the worst of the worst. We get tweets. This is from a Brian M. After the German soccer conversation sending a shiver down your spine, it's ironic that Paul Carr said it would be difficult to go to Paris and get a win since, you know, history. Too soon, Brian. Too soon. Mr. B, when the Guardians win tonight, if the Mariners take the lead, you can take the Braves plus 1.5 runs on the live line or pregame or adjusted line with heavy juice and guarantee profit or scoop the pot. Good luck. Yeah, it's not that clean because it's only a 90-minute stagger. So you don't know if Cleveland's winning, you know.
Oh, 90-minute staggered first pitches?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
We're to answer your question mathematically, we're a plus 420 dog to win. Plus 420 dog. It's a significant dog. But I would argue that Houston should not be as nearly as big a favorite as they are against Carlos Carrasco and the Guardians. And again, I know Carlos Carrasco has been shaky, but Hunter Brown has been the shakiest of the shaky for the Astros. And then Luis Castillo of the Mariners, I mean, he's like a top 10 Cy Young guy. So if he's like good Luis Castillo, anything could happen. But it's the Braves. You can't expect to win. You can just hope it falls your way.
So are you doing anything more hedging-wise before game action tonight? Or?
I honestly don't know what I'm doing. Because I don't, on the one hand, I don't feel compelled.
Right.
Right? But people are so, well, hey, I know you locked in something, but you got to lock in more.
I mean, if
I don't know if I do.
I mean, you would maybe have the opportunity, Guardians win, live bet, right? The Braves game later.
Yes.
To do something like that.
It would be nice if one game was complete and then you could focus on the second game.
Yeah. Yeah, things would be a lot simpler for you.
Yes, they would.
Early afternoon or something.
Yeah. But the fact that we could literally get, if the Guardians win, that's a big if the Guardians win, I have good hopes about it, though. There's a reason we bet on them in the first place, that we would get to the very last game of April with the decision.
Man. It's wild, man. It's great. It's a great bet.
Before we get to the NBA, NFL Rookie of the Year, we talked about this briefly last week.
Can we shout out Greg Lake real
quick? Greg Lake, everybody. Oh. Thank you for the Masters Cups.
Yeah, man.
Crow's Nest.
He didn't believe that Matt Brown was going to bring us anything, so he said he was.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he said he brought us a couple cups.
And you know what, Greg? You were right, as far as we know. Caleb Williams is your short shot, 2-1. Marvin Harrison Jr., 6-1. Jaden Daniels plus 650. So Jaden Daniels, because everybody knew where he was going or pretty much figured he was going to Washington in the end, his odds remain basically the same as they did pre-draft. Now, J.J. McCarthy is 8-1. That moved a little short. That got a little shorter. So three out of four of the top are quarterbacks. Caleb Williams, obviously the number one pick, going to a good situation in in Chicago. Got Cleveland on mine. Chicago with great receivers.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze.
But, like, you could cross that name off right away.
It's too short. It's too short.
No, I'm not even going Caleb Williams. Go Rome Odunze. Like, he's not winning it before Caleb Williams is.
Oh, we didn't even get down the bottom. What you're referring to is Rome Odunze is 22-1. Right. I would agree with you.
I hadn't really thought about that before, but, like, it's...
Right. For Rome Odunze to win it, either, God forbid, Caleb Williams would have to get hurt and somebody else would do it, would be a quarterback, or such a ridiculous percentage of Caleb's numbers would be Rome's.
Right.
And even in that case, they wouldn't give it to Rome.
Even in that case.
You're right. So he's probably the worst pick on that board in some respects. But Malik Nabers at 12-1 for the Giants is the fifth shortest shot. Shorter than Drake May with the Patriots at 16-1 because New England's not supposed to be any good. How about Xavier Worthy still sitting there at 16-1? We talked about that. And Bo Nix of the quarterbacks drafted, with apologies to Michael Penix Jr., who is not listed because he won't start. Kirk Cousins will. Bo Nix, 16-1, starting for the Broncos.
Penix is still only like 40-1, which is shocking. Like, that should be, 200-1, 300, 500-1?
How many bad games would it take for Cousins to have before people are like, Penix?
Oh, boy.
Not many.
Yeah. Three in a row to start the season.
I think that's it. I think that's the answer.
This market fascinates me. I've already made two bets. I've made two bets.
Bet worthy
Friday on the show. I think I brought it up Friday, but maybe not. Keon Coleman, I bet later at long odds at 50-1, 60-1.
Super excited to play real football next year.
He's excited to play real football. Going to Buffalo could be the guy for Josh Allen. I like both of those. And there's still, like, Jaden Daniels at over 6-1 just staring you in the face.
To me, that's, I mean, again, homerism a little bit, right? But that's the best bet to me.
I don't
just disagree. Because you are a quarterback who will start immediately, so you have the opportunity. The path is right there for you to win Rookie of the Year at good odds.
I wanted to jump on Worthy and Coleman before they moved because I had a feeling they'd move at least a little bit. Daniels, I might still add him, Kill, before season starts, but I'm going to wait for the rest of the shops here in Vegas to open up numbers and actually compare. Like, we've got, like, two shops compare right now.
We get legalized sports betting. we have Defensive Rookie of the Year, too?
Yeah, we do.
All right, good luck on
this. Which, those have shifted. When we first looked at those, I feel like there was a tie at the top. Dallas Turner's, like, moved into the significant favorite.
4-1. Did he go eighth, by the way? I'm curious.
No, he did not, Gil.
Oh, okay. Did something happen at eighth that I should know about?
That would have been cool.
Laiatu Latu of the Colts, 7-1, is the second shortest shot. Quinyon Mitchell of the Eagles, 10-1. And then Jared Verse, 11-1 with the Rams out of FSU, of course. Chop Robinson, Byron Murphy, Terrion Arnold of the Lions, Cooper DeJean, Nate Wiggins, Kool-Aid.
I'm not saying it's going to be one of those two names at the top, but it sure feels like there's a lot of defensive backs in here.
I have this just sixth sense about Quinyon Mitchell.
Okay.
I just think he is awesome. And I hate to say that because he's an Eagle. Mm. But I there's no bet for me here to answer your question.
And why I brought that up about the DBs is just because I think you automatically look for a pass rusher, right, of who's going to rack up the sacks first to win this. That's more likely than one of these guys. I mean, what do you need for a defensive back to win this award? He's got to end up with five interceptions, even be in the conversation.
Oh, I think
wasn't that Reek Woolen, right? Just a couple years ago. That's how you end up in the conversation. So you got to try to figure out which one of these DBs is going to end up with that luck.
And as soon as Tariq Woolen stopped picking off passes, he faded off the list, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, there might be some value in some of the edge rushers, but, yeah, that's the only thing I'd look at.
All right, Kelly, let's close how we began with the baloncesto.
Let's do it.
Very simple game, this baloncesto. You put the ball in the hoop and you score. You know that.
Just do it more times than your opponent.
That's right. Triple header. Beginning with the Knicks trying to close out the Sixers at the Garden. 4.5-point favorites, total 203.5.
Yeah, this one, complete stay away for me. I think that's what Drew said, too. I mean, Knicks, I just don't have them favored this big of a number. It's a closeout game, though. I get it. I don't know what you're getting with Joel Embiid in the fourth quarter. You're finally getting the Jalen Brunson that I expected in this series. I mean, the Sixers should have a difficult time stopping him, and they have the past couple games. I'm not sure it's going to stop tonight. At the same time, though, would we be surprised at all if Joel Embiid had a massive game in this turnaround? Nope. So this one's a complete stay.
Could be a massive game. Could be his last game as a Sixer. Mm-hmm. We don't know anything. Then Cleveland and Orlando, game five. Series knotted up at 2 apiece. The Cavs, 5-point favorites. Now it's ticked up 0.5 since we started the show.
I did it last night. I laid the 4.5 with Cleveland. And this is the brain dead playoff analysis of, okay, This is what they wanted, Gil. This is what they wanted. They wanted the Orlando Magic this entire time. They tanked for it. Drew's absolutely right. The Donovan Mitchell stuff is concerning, and I think we're going to hear more after this season finally comes out on what he's really been dealing with over the past month, 6 weeks, injury-wise, and trying to come back. He struggled big time in Orlando. I really doubt – this is a pretty heavy lean to the under, too, for me. I'm not going to play it. I think it's a real, real hard time imagining Magic replicating what they did on offense in Orlando. Big thing, though, with this series and the Knicks and Sixers, I know you and I were texting about it a bunch. The rebounding's becoming a big thing again. It's just like that Knicks-Cavs series from last year.
And then Pacers-Bucks. Pacers trying to close out the Bucks, but it's at Milwaukee for game five. Pacers favored by 4. You can't touch this.
I can't. I think Drew Dinsick put it perfectly of, if I had to bet this, it would be the Bucks side because I can't get there on this rating for the Pacers. But, oh boy, is it a gamble.
Yeah.
And the Pacers defense just isn't good. So there's a chance the Bucks just shoot lights out for a night and steal one.
Watch how I do this right here. You ready? Watch this. We've done all we can do. If you're on radio, Gojo and Golic are next. If not, if you're watching pictures, Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.